from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Should I go right? Should I go left? Damn it. How do I get in that little girl's toilet?
Can't
go, John.
At the club.
What? Club 1080. Do the ball, you little bitch. Yeah.
Club 1080. Souk and Rob's passion.
The era has become.
This is a conversation that I've tried to have.
Well, my.
That ain't no bird.
What is the freaking Texans doing?
I do know that.
Who's a feta?
I looked it up. Kliavkov's not doing anything, but he got $4 million to not do anything. So,
isn't he suing?
Because he saw, I didn't see anything about a lawsuit. I don't think he took his money, and I mean, he'll go back and work. And he was a Vegas bro. I mean, he got $4 million to not do crap. I'm sure he'll just go back, sit around Vegas. Someone will hire him again. Because he worked for like what, MGM or something before that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Trust me, anytime one of these jackwagons gets fired, no one feel bad for him. You paid millions of dollars to not do a job that you sucked at anyways. Like, can you, that's like the greatest thing in the world.
It's my dream.
Yeah, a CEO's like, you're disgraced. I can't believe it. Here's $20 million and go away. And then years later, you can come back as a consultant and sit on some other board and make like $3 million a year.
Tell you what, that's the key. Get on a board.
Get on a board. My buddy's on like 12 boards right now.
See, the board, you start getting on the board circuit. That opens up a whole new life for you.
That's exactly what John Buckley's trying to do in retirement. Hop on a couple boards.
Yeah, see, that's smart.
My buddy sold a company to a private equity firm, and now he's just on boards telling other people how to do what he did.
That's right.
And then you meet other people, cool people and influential people on the boards that can get you tickets to stuff.
Yeah, he takes important phone calls and, you know.
Yep.
That sort of stuff. Yep. Although, you know.
And all you have to do is like sit through a dumb meeting once a month or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does, my buddy does them all on like Monday morning. He just schedules all of his board meetings, and he just pounds through a Monday morning. And then the rest of the time, he just like plays golf and drink. Although I gotta say, a little disappointing. You know, he's got those remote blinds. They're a little loud. I mean, I'm just saying, you're gonna be a rich guy, and you've got noisy remote blinds. A little disappointed. I expected whisper quiet. And they weren't there. What's all that money for if we can't have whisper quiet blinds? Very, very disappointing.
So now to hot raw dogging talk. Now, this does not mean what you think it means.
Hey, raw dog can mean anything.
You pervs. I've never seen so much dong in my life. raw dogging is when, and this is a, I don't know, start on TikTok? I don't know.
Everything starts on TikTok nowadays.
Yeah, it really does seem like that. But raw dogging is the latest travel trend, guys.
Mm-hmm. And it's the dumbest trend.
Yeah, I don't really get it. I'm going to need an explanation. But it is that it's where if you're on a plane,
yep.
You have to sit silently.
So you don't do anything.
You can't have any devices. You cannot listen to music. You cannot sleep. You cannot have snacks. No distractions. No movies. None of it.
Yeah.
For the whole flight.
And then you brag about it.
Yeah. And then you try to beat your. By the way, Jackson Holliday just hit another one. The kid.
Turns out the number one prospect in baseball is pretty good.
Yeah, dude, he's raking.
And yet he still looks like he's 11 damn years old.
He hasn't grown up yet?
I don't think so.
This week?
Look at that kid. I do knew that. I do.
Help me. Anybody.
It's the dumbest
thing. Anybody got something on this?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Have you ever raw dogged? Because I have.
Well, I told you that.
But not on purpose.
We talked about this the other day. I took the wrong amount of medication on a flight, and I was forced to raw dog it because, like, the paranoia set in.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that I was going to, like, cause a scene or I was going to get kicked off the plane. So I just sat there and gripped the armrest and stared straight ahead. But that wasn't, I don't know if that's, does it count raw dogging when you're just in a drug-induced paranoia?
Well, you're not supposed to have, I don't think so.
No, because I think the idea is like you're also not supposed to be sober.
Yeah.
Like,
you're supposed to just sit with your own thoughts.
Why was?
Which you were.
I was, and they were not good thoughts.
But you were, yeah, I don't think that counts.
No, that's the only time I've, and let me tell you, that experience, miserable. Don't recommend it. Other than that, why? Why on earth would I ever go back to the olden days when you sat there? And even in the olden days, you got a newspaper or a magazine, a book. Well, I'm just sitting there for 7 hours staring at the dumb seat in front of me.
7 hours. I
don't know how long you sit. I don't know how long the flight is.
Well, I guess on TikTok, it's cooler when you have longer flights and you complete it.
Yeah, and then correct. They brag about it.
And you can't have any food or drink, anything. Like, you don't do anything. You don't. I don't even know. Can you say something to the guy next to you? Or
I'm getting from the text line, no way. Drugs immediately disqualify a raw dog.
That's
so.
Right.
So this right obviously out. Became a big pop culture fan, but people have immediately pointed back to Seinfeld and how Putty was like, no, I'm good. And he just like looked straight ahead on the flight with Elaine.
There was
like,
a whole
drove her nuts.
Yeah, Elaine breaks up with him.
So you could kind of say that Seinfeld really started it, but I'm seeing on internet that the craze has been traced back to an Idris Elba Apple TV series called Hijacked,
in which
he sits stone-faced for a seven-hour flight from Dubai to London after thieves take control of the plane. Then the raw-dogging term came about when a Manchester-based influencer, DJ, and producer on TikTok boasted about his new personal best of raw-dogging a seven-hour flight.
I don't know if there's a person on Earth that I would rather be around less than a DJ.
Manchester-based DJ and producer, yeah. TikTok influencer.
That might be my seventh concentric circle of hell would be sitting and being forced to communicate with that person.
Well, he wouldn't communicate with you. He's raw-dogging.
Well, I'm just saying in general.
He can't talk to you.
If we're just locked in a room together.
His handle is Oi Woudini.
Oh, my God. And then he
so no headphones, no movies, no food, no water, nothing. You just sit. No, I.
It's so stupid.
I've done this in the past, only but not long flights.
Yeah.
But only for just because I forgot something to do.
Sure.
And I maybe don't order a drink, and that's it. So I guess. And like, I don't really sleep on planes.
Like a Seattle to Portland little for Horizon thing.
Just like a couple hours. I don't know. Going to Vegas.
You still sit there. You still have your phone.
Yeah, but I don't do anything on my phone because I don't have any internet on
it.
So I just I don't ever play with that.
Interesting. So you have.
I have.
You've raw dogged.
I have, but by happenstance. Like,
Still a raw dog.
Now, I guess there is one thing you can do on the raw dog that they allow, and that is you can look at the flight tracker.
Oh, yeah.
Which I do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the flight tracker.
Yeah, I like to see where we're at.
Yeah.
That honestly, though, sounds like I do not understand the, I don't know, how would you describe this? Like, self-punishment for seemingly no reason? Like, that just sounds like you're just...
Well, you're doing it for clout, but no one's impressed because it doesn't sound cool.
But aren't they saying that it's good for your mind?
What? How?
You sit with your thoughts.
Okay.
I mean, you're basically just going, you know, you're unplugging yourself from screen time for a little while, but you don't need a plane to do that.
Yeah, you can do that anywhere. So can I just I just raw dog in my
raw dog your life, Jason?
Yeah, I'm just gonna sit there in my chair. Again,
stare straight ahead.
I do this a lot of times, but there's other substances in my body that happens. But again, I guess that disqualifies it. But why on earth would I want to sit there for hours upon hours upon? Like, I get maybe meditation. I tried that once, didn't really work for me. But I get people to meditate. But does anyone meditate for like six straight hours? I also would like
monks?
To call. Yeah, monks. I'd also like to just throw this out there. For every dip-ass DJ influencer that claims that they like raw dogged a 12-hour flight, I'm saying that 10% of them actually did. I think this is a lot of...
Well, it's easy to say.
It's easy to say. This is like people that say they watched The Wire. I'm sure that you did. Or you at least saying that you did because everyone says how good it is.
I watched it twice.
But you didn't really watch it. Like, that's... Hey, do you like the Rolling Stones? Yeah, I do. Name one song. I like them all. It's like Trump with the Bible. You say that it's your favorite book. We don't think it's your favorite book. So I'm calling shenanigans on the raw dog. I would like to sit there and watch some dumbass. Like, especially if you take a long flight, like my son just flew back from Vietnam. I want to see someone sitting on that, some DJ influencer, actually sit there for 12, 13 hours.
Would it be weird to sit next to a raw dogger? Aren't you freaked out a little bit? You're like, God, what is going on with that guy?
I guess that is a little strange, I suppose.
Doesn't order anything, doesn't do anything, doesn't sleep.
Doesn't take a sip of water.
Staring.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that is a... Do you like, if how long before you... Because I will not make contact with someone on an airplane. They are forced to make contact with me. I will not... I'm just not engaging in that conversation. How long, though, before you ask a question? Hey, dude, you all right? You okay?
No, I wouldn't. There would be no engagement.
No.
But I would certainly be paying attention. Looking out of my crooked eye.
My only saving grace on the airplane ride where I was forced to raw dog was that there was no one sitting beside me. Because that was my other great fear, was that someone would be looking at me being like, what the hell? But
well, they probably were.
Well, yeah, but at least there was no one. My aisle was empty in the back of the plane, and
well,
I'm sure someone was looking at me, being like, "What is happening back here?"
Some TikTokers are calling it an insane dopamine detox. Others are saying it's just simply a personal challenge.
Someone's saying, "How awesome would it be to try to derail a raw dog?" That's true.
You notice that somebody's doing it. You just start to chat him up, buy him a drink.
You buy him a gin and tonic, set it in front of him.
Just go ahead and...
Here.
Put that there. Nudge him a bunch.
Have a cocktail.
Just kind of bump into him. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Just start asking random hypothetical questions to no one in particular. Like, oh. Throwing it out there.
Offer him a stick of gum.
Making absurd statements. Oh, come on. I've got beef jerky. You're not turning down beef jerky. No one's turning down beef jerky. Well, some sweet, hot, old Tillamook style. Let's go.
Jordan says on the Vancouver Vortex line, bragging about choosing to be miserable on a flight for seven hours as a challenge, we have it way too easy.
That's kind of my thing. Like, we all claim that life is hard, and I'm calling horse sneers. Life's never been easier, and the proof of that is this dumb crap. That we have to invent things to make ourselves miserable.
Yeah, someone said, raw dogging a flight sounds every bit as stupid as the hot pepper challenge, the 9 hot dogs and beers in 9 innings, etc. You're making your own life miserable for clicks. It's true.
That's where we are.
Yes. Although I still contend, I don't think the 9 hot dogs and beers thing sounds miserable. Like,
it does to me.
Does it?
Oh,
yeah,
God.
But that at least is like an active challenge. It's not sitting there choosing to do nothing.
I just don't think I'd feel terrible. It's just
well, that's you. Yeah, I would. I can't drink one beer without feeling terrible.
Well, that's why we would do it, though, is we'd want to witness you go through that.
I'd poop through my pants.
Yeah, like, I think about this, like, with, do you ever watch Hot Ones? That, I like that.
I've seen a number of clips. I've never watched an episode, but obviously when the big celebs go through, they get all over social
media.
I've
watched plenty of Hot Ones.
I like Hot Ones. I think
Sydney Sweeney was on Hot Ones.
Was she really? I missed that one. I like Hot Ones. I think it's a fun show. It's a guy, and they just do an interview, and they're big time celebrities, and you have to eat increasingly hot wings.
Yeah. Do you know this premise, Isaac? It's basically it's just people eating hot wings while the interviewer attempts to go hotter and hotter spice while they talk about serious things.
My wife was watching it once.
It's a fun little show. The guy does it's a good bit. It's a fun show. They're like 25 minutes, and they get a lot of big celebrities on there, and I get like for that I understand why you're doing it, but to the person that goes into like. What was the old, like Salvador Molly's? Do they still have the Great Balls of Fire Challenge?
I don't know. I haven't been in there for a while.
I know. It's been forever. Hopefully they're still doing great. They used to come on the show. I love those guys. But like the idea of just me on a Friday night being like, hey, you know what I want to do? I want to go eat a bunch of like jalapeno fritters dipped in ghost pepper sauce and then spend my evening crapping out white hot razor blades. I do not understand that in any shape or form. Like, also that I could get, like, my photo on the wall. No. Again, I get it for a show, it's something, but just, like, in my day-to-day life, why? Why am I doing that?
Well, it sounds like you don't understand it either.
I do not.
So we've gotten nowhere on raw dogging.
No. And no one, I believe, under the age of 30 has ever raw dogged a flight on purpose. I don't believe it. This is a 100% 23-year-old DJ.
Well, and it's made more impressive because the younger people are, the less they can live without screens and distractions and things like that.
Are we really at the point where not touching your phone is like a great...
That's the thing. I feel like this wouldn't be any big deal for someone in their, I don't know, 50s, 60s, even in their 40s. But like a 20-year-old does it. Oh my God, I can't believe they didn't take their phone out.
What if everyone on every flight raw dogged at all times?
Just stood straight ahead.
Wouldn't that be great?
Stretford wives? No,
wait,
I think it
stood.
It'd be weird. Well, I guess sit. Yeah,
you can't stand.
What if everyone stood on their flight and looked straight ahead?
I do knew that. That's some creepy stuff right there. That's some M. Night Shyamalan stuff.
Well, guys, our next flight, we will not be raw dogging.
Nope.
No. I could do it to like...
Unless you mean the other raw dog.
I could do the Hawaii. No. Bathroom? Please. You want to talk about something that just isn't happening. Sex in an airplane bathroom. Good luck. I have a hard enough time standing in there by myself, let alone another human being. No, a sex bot or something. Yeah, we're talking. I could do a Horizon flight to Seattle. It's about the extent of what I'm willing to do.
What if you went into an airplane bathroom and they had a sex bot in there?
Yeah. Went in Rome, right?
And it was sanitized, and you could do it.
It's got like one of those, like when you go into like the toilets at a hotel, and they have that little thing over that lets you know it's been cleaned and sanitized.
Yeah. And it says enter here.
Well, you know,
are you going to do that?
Went in Rome, right?
That'd be real tempting, wouldn't it?
That would be real tempting. You're like, how long's this flight? Is the BTJ on the plane with me? Because that might be some explaining to do. What were you doing in there?
Yeah, and then what if after you use it, you know, it just sucks back into a compartment and they clean it.
Yeah, it disappears for the next.
And so nobody knows that you've done that.
I think you have to make sure you're the first one. I don't trust, like, you want to be first.
Yeah.
You see, like, eight guys, you're like,
All of a sudden, there's a long line at the bathroom. All dudes.
It's uncomfortable. You know, there's a bathroom in the back. No, I'll wait.
Just waiting on my friend here.
The place where I get my beard trimmed, there's a massage parlor of the Asian variety that just is so shady. And watching men debate, like, whether to go in there or wait till no one's looking, it's one of the best parts. Because every now and then, like, you go in there to get your beard trimmed, and you'll see someone, like, kind of just doing, like you said, like, they'll loiter. They're just like, and it's right by, like, a State Farm insurance agency, and they'll be, like, just hanging around the State Farm thing, and they're looking around. You're like, oh, yeah. Like, I know what's happening here. And he, like, slowly backs up, kind of does a little side shuffle, and then quickly grabs the handle and disappears inside. You're like, good. Slick, buddy. No one saw it. No one saw that at all. Same sort of stuff. How quietly can you make your way to an airplane bathroom? Just up here looking for some extra peanuts and wondering if I could get a diet Sprite, maybe a Coke. Sorry, it's just over. I'll just slip in right here. Don't mind me.
All right. Up next, we return to studyfinds.org.
Love me some study finds.
Perhaps this explains everything. This is the club on the fan.
Those scientists better check their hypotenuses, dude.
Well, as you know, I love science.
You are a man of science. Science and religion and faith and...
No, science.
All those wonderful things.
And so in my award-winning show prep, I often come across the website studyfinds.org because it's just a website that has a compilation of various studies from around the world about interesting matters that we're studying.
I'm always blown away by the things that are actually getting studied.
Yeah, there's a lot. A lot of funding out there for studies.
I know.
No kidding.
I got to get some of that study finds money.
This one may explain a lot. These results come to us from Netherlands.
And we trust the Dutch.
We do.
I don't know why.
They're all talking like Minnie Mouse.
But we trust them.
And they have found that science is backing up what we've all suspected, that thinking hard really does hurt.
Really? Like when you get tired, head?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Now, I will say that there are times that if you are mentally involved in something, I get tired.
Well, that's it.
But hurt.
Researchers confirm that mental effort is consistently linked to unpleasant feelings, challenging our assumptions about the joys of intellectual pursuits.
So morons are happier?
Blissfully unaware.
Well,
again, it's Idiocracy. Like, I'm telling you, that movie is... That thing is spot on.
Well, it does talk about in here, you know, their sort of conclusion as to why we push our brains, because some people still do.
Yeah.
Other people do not and never will, never have. And some people still do. They say basically just it's a short-term sacrifice, long-term gain. Like, it's never good, but if you learn something long-term, well, I shouldn't say it's never good. It's eventually good, but it's never good in the short term.
Huh. That's interesting. Because that kind of goes against the... I know you said, like, thinking hard hurts, but I was like, you know, you... What is it? I like to break a mental sweat as well.
Yeah. He's saying this should not be taken as an indicator that people enjoy mental effort, per se. Perhaps people choose mentally effortful activities despite the effort, not because of it. In other words, we're not masochists who enjoy the pain of hard thinking. We aren't. We're playing a long game.
Interesting.
Short-term discomfort, long-term gains.
Well, define hard thinking, because I really like learning stuff. I very much enjoy documentaries. I like autobiographies or, you know, nonfiction books. And I do like challenging things, but at the same time, like taking business classes or trying to learn foreign languages, I do those things to try to better myself, but I don't enjoy them. So is that like, there's like a fine line there.
This says the link between mental exertion and negative feelings, while still present, was less pronounced in Asian countries. Go figure.
Yeah, those damn Asians, man. They just outwork us.
Compared to Europe or North America. This finding hints at the role of cultural norms and educational practices in shaping our relationship with cognitive effort.
Is it possible that we're just fat, dumb, and lazy? Like,
well...
Because it is true.
Entirely, yes.
I mean, I'm not kidding. Like,
but
the Asians just outwork us, plain and simple.
I think what they're saying here is that this is true across all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not just fat, dumb Americans. It is a human... Mental exertion brings about negative feelings. So, whether you're Asian or otherwise. Okay, so what they're saying is, we need to be better about... God, I love him so much. So incredibly much.
What,
Bobby?
Bobby Witt again?
He just can't stop.
Bobby!
Bases loaded, bases clearing, double.
Is this why...
He is so freaking good, dude.
Is this why, by the way, we love sports? Because it allows you to be an absolute dum-dum and just be like, I love Bobby Witt! I love him!
Yeah, maybe.
Bobby Witt! You have to think nothing else other than your sports pants getting tight for a man named Bobby!
They're saying when we educate and when we have, you know, teachers and such.
Yes.
Dropping, you know, curriculum on peeps. They say we really need to reward. So when you make kids or in college or whatever, you make people go through mental exercises and they produce these negative feelings. They don't really want to do them. We need to reward them for going through the exercise better. In other words, that should be something that they think should come from this study when we put together our education system.
Interesting. I wonder what the... Because I like doing things that are very physically challenging and some might say painful. Like, I don't mind that at all. In fact, I kind of like the feeling that when you get done doing something very challenging physically and you're kind of... Your legs are a little crampy, maybe your back's a little tired, and you just kind of lay down and you're done. I think that feels amazing.
The feeling that you've kind of physically exhausted yourself with whatever task you've taken on?
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that, like, again, like, every time I've tried to learn a language, I'm just terrible at it. And I can sit there and grind away at a Duolingo lesson or whatever, and when I'm done or you're trying to, whatever you're trying to learn, I don't ever remember finishing that and then being like, God, that feels amazing. You're right, that I would finish that and be like, that sucked, and I don't feel like I got any smarter, and screw this. Like, why is the physical exertion, why does that feel so good, and the mental exertion feels like crap?
Yeah, I don't know. The methodology, the researchers conducted a meta-analysis of 107 studies published between 2019 and 2020. It involved close to 5,000 participants in 29 countries. They used a standardized tool called the NASA Task Load Index to measure mental effort and negative emotions during various cognitive tasks. Mm. By combining data from such a diverse range of studies, the researchers could draw broad conclusions about how people generally experience mental effort across different populations and types of tasks.
Well, it's a real thing, like, especially in really competitive schools like the Ivy League and stuff, where kids crack. Like, they just, like, in the middle of midterms and, like, finals, they literally have mental breakdowns because they can't handle the stress of it. So, I mean, I guess that shouldn't be that surprising.
The research suggests that mental effort may be inherently costly to the brain, possibly due to biological constraints or opportunity costs. However, they emphasize that this does not mean people can't find value or enjoyment in mentally demanding activities.
Morons everywhere are going to hear about this and be like, yep,
that's right.
That's why I don't do any of that book learning.
I told you. Knew it.
But there is an element to sometimes when you do meet the idiot that just is just an absolute dumb, you know what? There is a level of, I don't know, like, simplicity is happiness.
It's like bliss, blissful unawareness. Yes. It's like being unencumbered by knowing or worrying or being stressed about all
this.
We've
all met that person who just is such an idiot, but they go through life and you're like, in some ways you feel bad. You're like, how can you be that ignorant? And then you're like, well, but
must be pretty nice to just be happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what? Screw the learned people. No.
Well, that perhaps explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It hurts to think. Literally.
Now, next time, yeah, you can say that. Someone gives you a tough challenge. And you're like, well, you know.
It hurts. Oh, I'm hurt.
And boy, we do love to complain about stuff being hard.
Yeah, here's somebody who said, I feel this with my job. There's a pressure involved with the critical thinking that causes mental exhaustion, which makes me feel negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a thing. Start paying attention.
Well, I mean,
that.
Look, we admit. There is, our job is not digging ditches and ain't solving critical thinking problems. But you
far
know,
from it.
You know as well as I, there are days when you get done doing this, talking for 4 hours, that you are so tired.
Brain feels mushy.
Yes, when you get done with it, especially like if one of us gone, you do the show by yourself, or you know maybe it's a very busy day in sports and you're just going, or there's nothing really going on and you're kind of grinding for 4 hours. And you get done, I'm telling you, you will get home and your brain does feel mushy. Like, you just don't, you can't really process anything. You just want to lay down and not think. And then, like, your wife or your gal's like, let's talk about our day. And you're like,
no.
How do you explain to them? You're like, I'm not doing that.
Strong no.
And then they respond with, you didn't do anything all day. And you're like, God damn it. You're right.
I strained my brain. It hurts to think, baby.
Believe it or not, I was thinking today.
Yeah, this job is tough.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel sorry for us yet?
The constant pressure of this program. You don't know.
You don't
know the responsibilities.
Oh no, they were hurting you so bad. Oh
then
no.
You meet someone with like a real job.
Oh no.
You meet, you know, like your buddy's a fighter pilot. You meet some trauma surgeon or whatever, and you're like, oh, you know, just shut up. What did you do?
Trauma surgeon.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I would think, like, if you wanted to say what's the most stressful job, I gotta go there.
Like, kill the lesser man.
I mean, I know a lot of cops, and I know that's
stressful jobs.
Well, yeah, because I know cops. Everyone's gonna say, "Well, cop, you know, you can die." First off, that's not even the most dangerous job in America. There's way worse jobs, and I love my policemen out there. Dude, you have a lot of downtime, okay? I've been on ride-alongs. There's a lot of sitting around eating Wendy's and talking with your buddies. When you're a trauma surgeon, dude, you're in surgery for 8 to 12 to 14 hours at a time. And you're literally sewing back, you know, someone that has had something blown apart. Like that, like find me something that's more stressful than standing on your feet for 10 hours trying to sew the human body back together.
I got a top 10 list, if you want to get to that next, of the most stressful jobs in America.
Yeah.
Sports radio host.
Like top four. I'm not saying we're like on the medal stand, but we're in contention. Hello?
I mean, they do have film and video editors on here. So
bite me.
Bite. Why is that stressful?
Bite me, bite me, bite
well,
me.
Well.
The stress of doing a great film, stop it.
They're talking, it sounds like they're talking more about being up against news deadlines. Like you have to have something finished that's live breaking, etc.
All right. Well, we'll get to that next. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Oh, here's Butt.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I have some good text on this. We're talking about a new study that suggests that thinking
is
painful. Oh. And so, when we do it, we get negative feelings. Yeah. It's more like, and there are a lot of people that are texting in like, yeah, dude, that's a real thing. Yeah. And it is true. Like, if you think about some of the really smart people, like true critical thinkers that you know, mm-hmm. a lot of them are kind of, and it's a blanket statement, but a lot of them are kind of troubled or not, you know, like you can see.
Deep thinkers aren't necessarily the most happy-go-lucky person. Surfer bro,
right, bro.
Is in a happier state than the guy that's you know grinding through the deep thoughts.
Here's a text that says there are two types of stress: good, exercise; bad, sickness, lost job, fear, etc. Your body only knows stress as stress, so the same hormones are released regardless. The difference comes from physical exertion burning through those hormones, which allows you to feel better.
Yeah.
How about that?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Another text says, if ignorance is bliss, then why aren't more people happy? Great question.
That is a good question.
Well, because we have cable news channels on both sides hyping them all up, that's why.
Well, and again, I think people would be happier if we... Is that the best way to put this? It's not that you're unhappy. It's just that you think other people are happier. That's the whole like Instagram sort of thing.
Unhappy by comparison.
Yeah. One of the, you know, it's like you can go to a, and that's why traveling I think is such an important thing. You can go to a poor country seemingly that doesn't have much, and those people are extremely happy. This is what they know. But for us, you can live a relatively comfortable life, considering, you know, the circumstance that you could be in, but you're still pissed off because you want what someone else has. We have a hard time being content.
We have a
hard time being happy that's with true. What we have.
Now, on the we were talking about stressful jobs, and Buck has a top 10 list. I do think I was about to ask this question before we went to break, but then I realized we have to go to break, so I'll just ask it after the break, and here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Creativity or being creative is stressful because, well, at least for me, because it's sort of why like stand-up comedy is maybe one of the most feared jobs, right? Or one of the hardest jobs.
Yeah, people say public speaking. Yeah,
I don't know about you, but you know, you and I are in a business that requires some creativity, right? To use that part of our brains. And there is nothing worse or nothing that gives me more anxiety than having to do it on the spot.
Having to do it on demand or on request is especially tough.
Yes, it's really stressful.
It's like telling someone who's a comedian, be funny.
Just tell me
something funny.
That's what I mean. It's like, yeah, just like when everybody's expecting that from
dance,
you.
Dance, monkey, dance.
That can't be easy. Like for super highly creative people... You know, it's like we always hear about, this is why artists are so insufferable, right? Like, they're always like, well, I just can't make the movie. Bob Dylan, yeah. I don't know, I can't just
right. You watched
write
that,
the
you watched
song.
That interview, right?
I haven't seen it yet. I meant to watch it last night, but...
but yeah, he would definitely fall into that category.
But there are a lot of them are like that because they're like, you can't pressure me. It just comes. I have a process. Like, you have to...
Funny, like you mentioned that. So Billy Joel recently put out his first song in like 35 years, and he says that writing songs is torturous. He says that it is absolutely awful, and he just got to a point in his life where he's like, I am not going to do this to myself.
Don't I know it?
But
I still haven't written a song.
Me neither. This is because someone else on here said Suk doesn't know what he's talking about. Doing anything creative on a tight deadline can be very stressful.
Well, that's what made me think of it. Yeah, I think that's right.
It is. And so I guess that's my bad because I was being dismissive of it. I guess it's one of those things where I kind of laugh at that level of stress because the idea of writing a song being something that tortures you.
You're not saving someone's life.
Exactly. That's why, like, to me, again, it comes back to perspective. Like, yes, I mean, anything can be stressful to anybody, but I am always, I am not a very stressed person, shocker. And because I don't think I do anything that really is that important. So when I hear that someone is really stressed out and then you actually step back and look at what you're stressed about, 90% of the time it is something so stupid and insignificant that you've just worked yourself over.
It's usually self-imposed.
And so, but so when I think of stress, I think of people that are in really, really,
yeah,
you know, like I said, you know, a cop when S goes down, or a soldier, or a trauma surgeon, or someone that really has a lot of on the line. Like to me, if you're a high rise window washer guy, or you're one of those dudes that climbs up to the top of like wind turbine things, like that's stress. Because it's like, man, you take a wrong step, that's your ass, Mr. Postman. Whereas me, yeah, I may get stressed. Oh, man, I don't know what we're going to talk about today. But,
well,
I
but
don't know, it's...
you and I don't have... I'm talking about, like, imagine being somebody who has to create... I'm trying to think of, like, maybe even in the corporate world, like, you're a big designer at Nike.
Yeah.
And I think about this with like ad people and marketing people,
yes,
all the time. Like,
yes.
I need copy for 10 new ads this week.
You, they come to you and say, "Hey, we just have a multi-million-dollar fish on the hook here.
Yeah.
Put together something by Monday."
They need a great campaign idea.
Like that to me would be very stressful.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You want it to be good, true. And if it's not, that's your reputation. Yeah. And you're right, that's not.
And
life
you're losing
or death.
Business, maybe.
Yeah, and this is a good point. Losing your livelihood, your family's dependent on you. Yeah, that's a. Yeah, I take a step back from that comment. I guess when I just think about it, I always go to those kind of serious situations. But you're right. If you're a shoe designer at Nike and you're making a nice little living and you got your family and wife and kids and everyone's counting on you, and your last three designs have been dog poo, I'm guessing that next shoe that you're coming up with, I'm guessing that's some serious stress.
The Wieden and Kennedy people. I mean, they keep churning it out,
yep.
And it's like, man, somebody over there is brilliant.
Yeah, they're on point. But yeah,
to keep having to produce that over and over on deadlines, I just think that's pretty
well. And someone else pointed out on the Vancouver 4 text line, you know, that's why a lot of creative people, critical thinking people,
yes.
probably do a lot of drugs.
Yes, that's right.
And that is, I remember, was it the I forget what his name is, but he was the lead singer of Sublime. And Sublime was a big
Bradley,
deal.
Bradley something.
Banksy.
Bradley Noel?
Banksy?
I think it's Bradley Noel.
Wasn't Banksy
Noel?
Well, he's dead now.
Right.
But so he was a heroin addict. And Sublime was really successful. And they were big in the late 90s or whatever. We all know a few Sublime songs. But I remember after he died, reading an interview with him where he got clean off heroin. And he said he didn't feel like he could write. Without it.
I've heard almost an identical story about James Taylor, who was into heroin for a long time, and he said, when I was high, it literally felt like the notes and lyrics would fall out of the sky, hit me on the head, and onto my page.
Yeah.
Once I went sober, I didn't know what to do.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a...
Yeah.
I'm assuming that, yeah, when you... And again, it's a weird stress because you've already been successful, but in that interview, what I was telling you about Bob Dylan is... the 60 Minutes guy was like...
Ed Bradley.
Yeah, Ed Bradley was like... Like, where do those songs come from? And he's like, I don't know. I could never do that again. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, it's not there. He's like, I tried. He goes, that part's gone and dead. And I wonder what that must feel like if you're a guy like Bob Dylan and you write some of the greatest songs of all time. Because Bradley points out he had 12 songs in the Rolling Stones top 500 songs of all time, including the number one song, Like a Rolling Stone. And Bob Dylan was like, I never do that again. What does that feel like when you realize that the well's gone?
Or is he just saying that to protect himself? Seriously, like some people would, it's so stressful to have to come up with that again and to live up to that standard that you already created that you don't want to do it or you don't think you can do it, so you just say it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. It's true. Hey, Bob, can you do me a favor and write another one of the top 500 songs of all time?
Exactly.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah.
Hey, can you write a culture-defining decade-long movement protest song? Yeah, I got. Oh, you've already written 10 of those. I'd like 11.
All right, well, are we going to get to this list? Should we get to that next? Do we have time?
Sure, we can get to it next.
Top 10 stressful jobs next on The Fan. All right, the top 10 most stressful jobs.
So starting at number 10, and okay, now an ad has popped up, which is wonderful. Let's see here.
Number 9
close.
Is
there we go. Number 10, hedge fund managers. Says they face high stress due to managing billions of dollars, facing constant market fluctuations.
There's a lot on the line there.
Stock market, bro. Yeah.
It does say it's a little bit lower because it's also one of the most overpaid jobs in the world.
True. Right.
Number 9, stock trader. Maybe a little bit more personal loss on the line there.
Well, that's like the dudes jumping out of windows, right? I mean, that's, you know, that's always one of those well-documented, I lost everything, goodbye.
Number eight is criminal lawyers dealing with high-stress cases, handling serious crimes, often with life-altering impacts.
See, I think that's right. That I think that's, we overlook that.
Yeah.
Because you got to, I've always thought that the art of putting together a case and trying a case would be really, really stressful. Like, you got to, a couple of missteps and you lose the case, you could be really good, but you didn't do it right. You didn't present it well enough.
And you killed.
And the guy goes to jail forever. It's like,
I told you, I sat in on a trial and was watching it. I don't know. Was that like maybe 2 years ago? It was a rape trial. It was the most intense thing I've ever witnessed in my entire life. I was like, holy hell.
I think I'd be terrified that I'd leave something out or miss something obvious, you know, because I probably would.
Especially if you knew that you didn't get justice and it was kind of your fault.
Yeah, and then the guy's like, hey, man, what the hell?
I'm coming for you.
Number seven, I've heard this one a lot before, anesthesiologist.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You got to be super careful. The margins are crazy. Yeah.
But I think
someone's life in your hands.
I think that's a little, that is definitely true. Not minimizing. But somebody brought up the PGA golfer. And I think those two are kind of similar in that those people have trained, they're like robots. They've done it so many times that I don't think it's quite as stressful as it would be for you and I. Because the PGA guys, they're just, they're robots, dude. They, I don't know.
Number six, oral and facial surgeons.
Okay. Hey, no.
Number five, obstetricians.
What do they do?
Delivering babies.
Babies!
Come on, you throw on a catcher's mitt. That's stupid. Get out of here with that one.
Get another
lot of medical.
Underwater welder, number four.
I bet. I've heard that. And you get buku bucks, but I guess the thing is dangerous as all get out.
Number three is explosive ordnance disposal tech, like Hurt Locker, bomb tech.
There's a guy in my jiu-jitsu gym that is on the Portland bomb squad. And, dude, that dude's blood pressure does not rise. That dude is cool as a freaking cucumber.
That should be number one.
Yeah.
Number two is mental health counselor experiencing high stress from emotional empathetic engagement with clients' problems and the weight of having to solve them.
My wife's a therapist. She does talk about that. She's like, there are only so many people I can listen to in a day. And I'm always like, yeah, take more clients. And she's like, dude, you don't understand. This is really...
I need a boat. Let's go. Daddy's got to get to Pebble Beach.
And finally, nuclear reactor operator, managing nuclear facilities with potential catastrophic consequences.
I'm not going to argue with number one.
Yeah, just don't hit that button.
The Chernobyl bros. Ah, you're fine.
All right. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on the Fan. Good night.
Friendships of Spain. Friendships of Spain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerd! Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.